from Isaiah 42. And new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Lord, bless us as we consider the new things that you have given to this world and to us. We pray for your blessed Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us in understanding, believing, and obeying your word and will. In Jesus, amen. You may be seated. As the calendar turns from 2016 to 2017, I know all of you, like myself, feel a little bit bombarded by the commercials and the programs, diet, change of lifestyle, maybe focus on exercise, perhaps better attitude, all kinds of ways to become a little bit better person in the upcoming year. But today, as we come to worship, we are introduced with the one who is truly the new man, the new person in this world, unlike any other, and who also comes to make us not just better people, but new people. And so whatever resolutions we might have to become richer, more intelligent, more beautiful, more responsible, more popular, whatever it may be, the most important thing of all is that we would look to this new man, Jesus Christ, to make us his new people. God takes us away from this old way and the old person that we are and to which we have been born into, the problem of sin. And I'd like to read about that in Romans chapter 6, if you would just bear with me. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, listen to Paul as he explains this great change, this becoming new. What shall we say then, Paul writes? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What is sin? Sin is unbelief. Sin is living without any thought or recognition of God. It's pursuing life, making achievements, accomplishments, and so on, without any guidance from the Lord or any help from the Lord or certainly any thankfulness to him. And this problem of sin intermixes with all that we do in life. And though it may seem temporarily to us that we are doing quite well, the reality is that because of this old problem of sin, everything that we have been given and everything that we have accomplished is slowly being eaten away and dissolved and destroyed by that problem of sin, which brings, as Paul said, death. And so, also, the worst thing about it is that it separates us from God. And that problem of unbelief is like a disease that infects us, but has different kinds of symptoms among different people at different times. Sometimes it makes us feel very happy, and at other times very sad. Sometimes we may think we're quite strong, and yet at other times very weak. All sorts of symptoms which may to some seem good and others to some others may seem bad, but the one consistent symptom of this problem of sin, this old way of living, is this, that it does not draw us closer to God. That it, in fact, keeps us separated from God. It reduces our sense of repentance and our desire for forgiveness. It reduces our thankfulness and our praise to God and our desire to worship or to even hear His word. It rather connects us, shackles us to evil. And as the Bible promises, God will one day intervene in this world. And He will bring all things to justice. And He will take the evil one, Satan, and cast him into that lake of fire that He has prepared for all who have resisted and stood against Him. And along with that one will go all others who were connected to Him but not connected to God. And you might think, and we all think to ourselves from time to time, well, I'm not an evil person. I don't commit those terrible things that I read about in the newspapers. But the problem of sin is that it connects us with long tentacles that reach out and grab a hold of us. And unless those tentacles are cut, and unless the chains of Satan's condemnation are broken, unless the key and the combination to the door of damnation that Satan slams against us, unless all of those things are changed, we will be consumed in that old way. A change must happen. A new person must be born again. And this is what Jesus' baptism is all about. This is the mystery that God is revealing in the world when Jesus stepped into that Jordan River. And He was baptized by John the Baptist. And the heavens opened and a voice said, "This is My beloved Son." And the Holy Spirit was there in the form of a dove. In all of this, God was showing us Jesus as the new man. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 5. The old Adam didn't listen to God. The old Adam didn't believe in God. The old Adam disobeyed God, and therefore he fell under the dominion and the control of Satan and all of his children ever since then as well. But the new Adam, Jesus, did listen, did believe, and did obey. In fact, he obeyed even to the point of death, the death on the cross. He submitted himself to this world and its own delusions and its own rejection of God, to be crucified on the cross, to earn one thing necessary to make this great change, to bring us from the old to the new, to cause us to be born again. And that one thing is the forgiveness of sins. For a moment, Satan thought he had control of everything, that destroying the Son of God gave him dominion over all things, until the third day came, the resurrection, and all that power was undone. But let me be careful here. It is not just the forgiveness of sins that is the key, but as Paul carefully explains, it is repentance and forgiveness. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin, that's our repentance, live any longer in it? It's important for us to know that because, as Paul knows, people who heard him preach misunderstood what he said. And so that misunderstanding sometimes continues today. And people think that forgiveness means God doesn't care. And that because they have sinned, it's all right, God's love, and He'll overlook everything. And they don't consider the need for their repentance and their turning away and their resistance against those sins. That is what God calls us especially to in this new life. Jesus died for our sins in order that we might die to our sins. And so when we read about the newborn people in the Bible, all of them went through that experience. David disobeyed God, fell away temporarily from his faith, committed adultery and murder. And yet he was brought to repentance by the prophet Nathan. And in his Psalm 51, his great prayer, he begins, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And then, as we will sing in a few moments, create in me a clean heart, O God. He prayed for that new life that God gives through repentance and forgiveness. Jonah ran from the Lord as far as a person could possibly run until he ended up in the belly of a great fish. But in that belly, Jonah prayed. He came to his senses. He says, "When my soul fainted within me, my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Peter denied the Lord three times, and yet Matthew tells us in that denial, he also came to his senses in repentance, and Matthew tells us he wept bitterly. This is the new birth, and this is the new way. And so of all the new things that need to happen in this year, 2017, and of all the resolutions that may have to do with nutrition and exercise or answering emails more promptly or saving more money for retirement, whatever it may be, the most important thing that's changing among all of us is that Jesus came to be baptized, to step into this world, to take away the sins through his death on the cross. And in our baptism, we too would step with him into God's grace and be forgiven. Not to be a better person, but a new person. So I leave you with this kind of way of looking at the life, your life ahead. The way I look at my own life as well. Lord, help me. Help me to remember you and to pray with David in Psalm 143. Cause me to know your loving kindness in the morning. Help me to repent. Sometimes I have trouble repenting of my sins. I don't want to think about them. I ignore them. But then I pray with Jeremiah, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God." Receive God's sweet promises of forgiveness. Always focus on those and remember them. As Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." And then finally, also, resist those sins and resist the cause of sin. As James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is a new year. This is a new life. God has brought it into the world through his Son, Jesus. And he has brought us to it in our baptisms. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. O Lord, help us remember the new life you have given to us in your word, and especially that word which was connected to us in that miracle of baptism. Bless us to be your baptized newborn people today and every day. In Jesus, amen.